really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. This episode is brought to you by...
Best gift I've ever received has to be...
Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Parenting Hell's the best song right now. Becky Tom with it, I'm showing us how. Oh, it's the Campbell Go Home Now. And then off menu. Stiflex! Parenting Hell is going on tour. Written a book and lots of things more. Keeping the mummies and daddies safe. The best podcast in the game.
Yeah, do you want to say hi to Rob and Josh?
Hi, Josh. Thank you for letting us join in your podcast.
Oh,
they're better
wow.
than us. That was
incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Until you go, that's Sarah, who's 27. That's amazing.
Here's a song promoting the best podcast around, sung by my six-year-old, Sophia.
Wow.
With a little help from four-year-old brother, Matteo. Matteo did an intro for you last year, so Sophia wanted to have a crack at it. My contribution was the lyrics and bashing some notes out on the piano. So, oh, come on, that's very humble. Thanks for your work.
Just writing and performing the song they sang to, basically.
Yeah.
The six-year-old couldn't write that.
He's very much the bloke in the cause, isn't he, Dan Wheldon there?
Dan Wheldon, absolutely. I enjoyed that. That was a great intro, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was very good, wasn't it? I loved that. We should have that. We should have that as one of our songs that's played in while people are filing in during our live tour.
Oh, that's a good idea. But I don't want that to put off people that just have their kid that can't even say your name, like, worried now.
Yeah, no. The high achievers don't. We're not normally looking for high achievers.
No.
But it's nice. It's nice once
nice
in a while.
Nice now and again to have sort of
nice
a functional family that are really talented.
To know
ran
that
down
the country's not
front.
Completely fucked.
Well, they just sat their happy families playing their fucking songs and singing while I'm at home with my kids snotting on me. But yeah, it's great that you did it. Thanks. Really
yeah,
appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. That was really good. But that's not what we're about.
How are you, Josh?
So I am. Oh, I did my quiz.
Oh, yes, you did the parent-teacher association quiz.
Yeah.
Yes, because you messaged me. You was messaging me about it.
I was shitting myself.
You really was, Josh.
I was so nervous that I had to go for a nervous shit. You know that when you're that nervous?
Well, I've realised I've been so busy recently, I've been having nervous shits for 2 weeks.
Have you?
Because then, well, like, leading up to me filming I filmed my special in Southend.
Oh, yeah.
And I realised the day after I did the special that I'd been shitting weird and have normal shits now.
Oh, God, yeah. Well,
stress
shits. I mean, that's an actual reason, whereas I was, like, thinking, this quiz, oh, my God. I'd written the whole quiz. Suddenly I was in a room full of strangers. I got there. They're all on their tables. And I was terrified, Rob.
Yeah, but what did you message me? You messaged me at one point. I was about to go on stage at a real gig. Not
unbelievable.
Questions in
unbelievable.
A pub. No, you said to me, I cannot wait to discuss how nervous I am on the pod. Honestly, mate, I've got the shits. Then yeah. I reply with a couple of bits, and then I said, oh, you'll be all right. No, I did say, you're right to be nervous because you aren't really Josh Widdicombe off the telly anymore. You're your daughter's father.
Oh, my God,
at the
yeah.
gig, which
oh
I didn't,
God,
don't think it helped
yeah,
that.
Yeah. No,
and
no,
then
no.
you replied 10 minutes after I said that, Rob, I'm stood in the corner alone. Everyone else is chatting.
Yeah, I was like the you know, the end of the Blair Witch Project. That was like me, just facing... No, because I was at the quizmaster stall, and then everyone else was at their tables.
Oh.
And what was I meant to do? Like,
did you go? Did you circulate? Before? Yeah, network.
What, like a fucking vicar?
Just say hi, like you'd go up to go, oh,
yeah,
hi.
Yeah, done a bit of circulating. Hi, I'm Josh.
Yeah, but normally the quizmaster goes, hi, I'm Josh, I'm doing the quiz, I'm so-and-so's dad.
Yeah, I did. Here's the picture round. Yeah.
Here's a picture round, we need T-Nones. Oh, so you did a bit?
Yeah, I did a bit, yeah. And, you know, I used my phone to, like...
Did you make any friends?
Oh, I've got mates. I've got mates.
No, I'm not saying you haven't got mates. I mean,
I've got mates.
No, but I'm not saying you need mates.
I've got mates.
You've taken that in a really weird way.
I've got mates.
When I've said you make any friends, I'm not implying you haven't got mates.
No, well, you'd be wrong to imply I haven't got mates.
Okay, you message Tom Crane every other day.
Every day. But yeah.
No, I know you've got friends, but did you make new friends there?
Yeah, big time. How's your week been? It went well. The quiz went well, Rob.
Well done. Big hit. And PTA love you.
They said, could you do it termly? Feels a bit much to me.
Didn't I tell you this would happen?
I've been reeled in, Rob.
They're hard negotiators and they're going to go termly and you're going to go, what about yearly? And then you'll end up doing it three times a year or twice a year.
Twice a year. It's going to be twice a year. We both know it's going to be twice a year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be twice a year.
Yeah.
Summer and winter quiz. Oh, that went well, though. Yeah. At least in that way, you never have to organise a comedy show.
Oh, well, that's coming.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, you free on November the 27th?
No, neither of them.
Okay, cool.
Which year? Doesn't matter. I'm busy.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm very busy. I'm busy being a class rep, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
How's that going?
Well, I feel like somebody went over my head.
Was it Lou?
So we were talking about the homework. I had to email about the homework and said, can they put it in the book? Because we find not everyone's got a printer. I told you about this, didn't I?
Yeah.
Anyway, they've still sort of put it online. And then we got, hi, everyone, quick update. She said it to me, though, the teacher, which is the right chain of communication.
Yeah.
And if you've learned anything from Sweller Braverman, that we have to communicate in the correct way. She said, please could you let the parents know that due to some parent feedback, I'm now going to put the homework at the top of the page on the website
nice,
thing.
Nice.
I was like, well, where's this feedback? It's not come to me, has it? This should be funneled through me. I should be the rep.
Oh, my God.
So there's people going over my head.
Yeah.
And snitches get stitches. Anyway, so it's going to be at the bottom of the thing. Because basically, as you were scrolling, it'd get lost. So they're putting it at the top of the page of the website so you can find it. It's quite boring. Anyway, also, for the parents that have asked for extra homework, I'm going to add on an extra document or task.
What the fuck is going on there?
And what kind of mad fucker is asking for extra homework?
Extra homework?
I know. We've got enough. There's six.
Come on.
But she said, what she said is she's going to put an extra thing on there that's not compulsory, but if you want to do it with your child, you can do it. I don't think you want your child to be too intelligent, is my opinion on the matter.
No.
If we've learned anything from Elon Musk, intelligence
he's not
be
a happy bunny. He's not a happy bunny.
I don't look at Elon Musk and look at a man that's happy with life. And I think there's a right amount of intelligence. If you know too much, life's too hard.
Exactly. Do you know what she should have said? For those that have asked for extra homework, shove it up your fucking arse.
Yeah.
How do you think that would have gone?
Why don't you fuck off and stop ruining the weekends of all the other parents? Think about what you're doing. That happened, but it's fine. But a bit disappointed in my fellow parents there.
Yeah, that's a shame,
behind
isn't
my
it?
Back.
Yes.
I laughed out loud in my sleep next to Lou.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember doing it, and it was really loud. I can't remember who it was, but I think I was walking along, and someone pulled up in a van, and it was a comedian, but it was sort of like, sort of you, and it was sort of Joe Wilkins. It's sort of like all comedians,
all my comedians
I knew. It wasn't like
composite
one person.
Comedian. Yeah.
Composite comedian. And then they said something, and I can't remember what it was, but it was really funny, and it cracked me up. And I laughed in my seat, like that kind of laugh, like proper laugh. Yeah. And Lou went to me, like nudged me and like that in the morning. She went, you laughed in your sleep last night. And I went, oh, was it that funny? Was it quite sweet? She went, I hated it.
Amazing.
I went, why? She went, it was fucking weird. It was just weird.
That's
incredible.
I thought
I'd rather listen to someone laugh than snore, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that is weird. Why has she had such a reaction to that? Jealousy.
Yeah, he's strange, isn't it? Very strange. And the other thing that's happened is, so it's Odd Socks Day at the school.
Yeah, we had Odd Socks Day.
But you got to put them over the tights, so now the shoes don't fit.
Oh, there we go. That's a problem.
And my daughter's obsessed with having the socks on the inside out, so there's that, you know, the bump bit is outwards rather than inwards?
Right, yeah. Yeah, like that, the tickly.
So why do they still make socks with that? Because I don't like that as an adult. I just sort of put up with it because there's not another person that will turn them inside out for me. Other things, lasagna. My daughter likes lasagna now.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Because she had it at school. Lou bought her lasagna and she didn't eat any of it because it had too much taste.
Oh, no.
So that was good.
Went on a play date. I had this moment, okay. Rob.
With the kids or just you?
Yeah, with my daughter. So it was a play date at one of her new friends' house. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just me and her. And her friend's mum was there with her friend's two siblings. And when I got to the door, it was 2 PM on a Saturday, I kind of got out of the car and I thought, what the fuck have I done here? I've basically invited myself to sit in a stranger's kitchen for 3 hours with a stranger I've never really met.
That's the hardest bit. We've done that before when they've come over and then you go, oh, that's great. But then as soon as the kids run off and play, because they know each other from school,
you're like, what?
You are just sat
this
on
is
a date.
Bizarre thing that I've just done. Organise this. Like, what? Then it actually worked out very well. She was great company. We had a lovely afternoon. Oh, I hope so. I had a nice afternoon.
But it does feel like a weird little day, doesn't it?
But it is weird like that, yeah. Talking of dating, Rob, my daughter and one of the kids at school, they've got a crush on each other and it's weird. She's always talking about him. And we've been told
that
he's got a crush on her. She's always bringing him into conversation and talking about things he does, and he's like negging her. Like, he runs really fast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you're like, they're five.
We've got a bit of my youngest is a bit like that, of a boy from, like, preschool.
Yeah.
And they always, like, bump into each other. Like, so when there's events in the local area, we'll go, oh, is he coming in? Because they go to different primary schools.
Yeah.
I say, do you like your friend? Is he your boyfriend? And she actually gets, like, angry and runs off. So I don't say it to her anymore. But they do get a bit... Yeah. It's weird, isn't it, when it happens?
It is weird. I'm not ready for it. Anyway...
I don't need to worry now.
Right.
This week, we are joined by one of my favourite comedians, Joe Wilkinson.
Oh, he's the best.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
He's incredible. He's so good.
Also, I didn't know that he had a stepson until recently.
No, exactly.
I didn't think he had any children.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a great one. I love Joe Wilkinson. He's absolutely brilliant. Enjoy.
Hello, you're Joe Wilkinson, you're
sorry,
right.
Sorry, I need to belch.
Oh, okay.
Burp if you need to, Joe.
No, I'm not burping on your podcast. You're in the bloody... You're one of the biggest podcasts in the country. You deserve better. I'll do it off mic.
It's about parenting, so we're experts in burping.
You're right.
I just broke my radiator. Fuck.
You're right.
Just kicked my radiator. Sorry,
you're right, Joe.
Yeah, sorry, I need to belch and I broke.
Are you really need to belch?
Flipping hell. I've never had this before. Fucking hell, I've got heartburn.
Oh, God.
I've never had this before at the start.
What have you eaten this morning?
I've had a sausage.
Just on its
own. A cold sausage that was left over from yesterday. Right, I genuinely can't go on until I've burped.
This is mad. We're going to have a live burping on air.
God, it feels like a dangerous burp. Like,
why don't you get some Rennies?
You're right.
I think I've got heartburn and I need to burp.
You've got pins and needles in your arm?
Don't. I'm at the age where that is a worry. No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Think of the numbers,
yeah,
Josh.
If he has
a heart attack on air, you're right.
God, that'd get you up the charts, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Not you need that. It, you pair of bastards. Anyway. Sorry, that's dumb. God, that really scared me a second, that didn't.
You're right.
Yeah, just so I felt like I've developed heartburn, I think, in the last few weeks. And Joe Lycett sent me a really long message telling me how to sort it. I think it's one of the sweetest messages I've ever had. He gave me a blow-by-blow how to control my heartburn.
Well, you need to get that sorted. Anyway, well, Joe, welcome to the show. Fully.
Thank you.
It's full welcome. Parent in hell, and you've got a stepson, is that right?
Yes, I've got a stepson and a step-granddaughter.
Ooh. Granddad Joe. Step-granddad.
Step-granddad Joe, yes. Yes.
And how old's your stepson?
He's 36.
Wow.
And step-granddaughter is 8.
So this is my question to you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You are someone who I'd say is quite
hot.
They overthink their own. they overthink everything they do. Yeah.
Thank you. What a lovely thing.
Quite self-critical. Yeah. Is that fair?
I think that's the fairest thing you've ever said, and you've said some fair things in your time.
So, I can't imagine you turning off your self-criticism and just playing.
I do, weirdly.
Do you? Is that when you finally let loose?
Yeah, the curtains are drawn, obviously. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I've never really thought about it, but yeah, it's just is it the real me? I wonder.
It's let loose a part of you.
Well, it's you sort of playing games and stuff, and it's fun, isn't it? And you go you can't worry who's watching, because you can't stop the playing and going, hold on, I'm riddled with insecurities and. Where do they come from? Good question. I guess I had very thin arms and I was incredibly self-conscious about those up until the age of... I guess even now I'd... Okay, she's gone. She's gone over to Granny P.
That's a good thing with playing with kids, though, isn't it? Because you can just let loose and be silly, and no one can judge you because you're playing with a kid.
Fantastic,
but
yeah.
You sort of want to be able to do that with your mates still, even though you're like, we're older. But you can't.
I don't want to do that with my mates, Rob, I'll be honest with you. I want to have the relationship I have with my friends as is, I'll be honest with you. I do not want to play a game where we have to first one to the dishwasher. No, I don't want to play that. I don't want to play that with Simon.
David
and Tim.
L.
Yeah. David, I've got this idea. It's just
an
idea.
I'd watch you two do that.
I would make sure that never hit YouTube. Never. That's a very good question. I'd never thought about that. Yeah, completely let loose. It is me at my freest, probably.
Is it?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Fuck, that's really left me cold. Wow, so, I feel sick.
Do you think of the games, or does your step-grandson, does she think of them, like, and then you play along? You just sort of a person to be marched around.
Yeah, I am marched around. My other half is sort of she adores Petra, and I'm a plaything.
Petra's your other half.
Yeah, Petra's my other half, her grandma.
Yeah.
She adores her, like, you know, not even close to, you know, I'm like second fiddle beyond that, obviously. But she knows that she has complete and utter control over me. You know, like it's... Like, she knows, she sensed weakness very early on. And she abuses that weakness to the full extent. So
I've been on people on panel shows that were like that.
We've worked together now.
I think it's quite easy to talk over Joe. I think it's quite easy to talk over Joe. Yeah. So if Joe goes in for a bit, that's when you should. And this is people's agents. If you really want to get some stuff in, the best advice I can give you. So when they turn to Joe, get in, because he will crumble.
This episode is brought to you by O2.
For my next drink, I will combine toffee, coffee.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm weak, basically. I'm running about, basically, and going,
but at
okay.
Eight, they do get a bit clever at eight. They go beyond being little kids to quite manipulative in sort of a sweet way. And have you found yourself trying to sort of win her over?
I feel like the relationship is fixed now. Like, I've won her over, but I'm also, like, have no control of anything that happens in my...
Does she respect you if you say don't do something? I can't imagine you telling off a kid.
Well, if Petra's in sight, yeah, you know what I mean? Because she sort of understands that I can go, Petra, I'm going to need you to stop that happening.
Teacher.
Yeah, because I have no... I have no authority. Have you ever had a... Like, someone work for you, like, have you had a job? Have you both just done comedy, really?
No, I've done jobs, but I've always been...
You've been the underling.
I've been the underling. Yeah, I've never got to a position of...
No,
I've never been in a position of power.
No, I haven't, and I wonder what that's like, because I wonder if it's something that you can learn, if you've sort of, if you have to, if you suddenly start running your own business or something. But yeah. I wonder if I could ever be taken seriously. Like, I do genuinely wonder if, like, I'd if I ran, like, a proper company, I wonder if, like, the factory staff would still just walk past me. Fuck off, mate. But I can. I think I can have you fired. Yeah, go on then. But I really want you to like me. So I think I'll just lose money this year. I'll just lose money. It's fine.
Well, because we have tour managers. When you have a tour manager, that's sort of someone working for you, slash with you. But I find that quite awkward because, like I say, I've never been like that, where you sort of tell someone what, like, not what to do, but it, you are going, oh, yeah, I want to do this. Like, and you're sort of, I'm sort of paying you to manage my tour. And on this tour, I want to leave tomorrow at 8 a.m. However, that involves you having to get up and drive me at 8 a.m.
Fuck, yeah, that's true.
So you want to do that or not? But actually, I need you to do that because I've got to be in London at that time. So it's awkward.
Yeah. The thing about, like, agents and stuff like that, they, because we're, because I think I can speak for all three of us, we're cowards, basically. And I imagine you've occasionally gone, I really need to leave at 8:30 for that. So I'll just quickly talk to Jason, whoever your agent is, and go, can you quickly send and just say I'll need to be gone by 8:30? Because you don't want the proper...
Yeah, you don't want to do it direct.
It's pathetic, isn't it? And but anyone who's straightforward about things like that, you respect, don't you? If someone comes to you and go, Rob, I'm going to need you there at 8:30, sorry, because we need to be on the road by 9. You don't go, who the fuck are you?
No.
Fair enough, I've got all the information I need and I will be there at 8:30. Whereas me and you two go, fucking hell, I can't ask someone to be there at 8:30. That means they'll have to get up at 8. I can't be the person who's made them get up at 8. Fuck off. It's your tour. And they'll have no problem with getting up at 8.
Yeah. It's all in their own heads, isn't it, I think?
Pathetic. Of course it is. Pathetic. I include you two, you pathetic bastards.
Pathetic little boys.
See Joe, this is the real you. Not the you that's going to the running to the dishwasher.
No, God. No, it feels good to be back. Thanks, guys. I needed that.
Of the little games you play, what's probably the best and worst ones? Are there games that you go, actually, I don't mind, this game's quite a fun game, or are there ones where you're like, this is
hide and seek fucking... Oh, it starts off as the idea. There's loads of things in life that start off as a good idea. You know, you think, oh, yeah, there we are. Fucking hell. Hide and seek's a prick, isn't it? Really? It's like, it's one time is fun. You go, but it's just that thing with kids. You can't just go, honestly, like once, twice is how many times we should do this.
Yeah.
And then everyone enjoys it. And does it have to end up with some degree of a sulk and having to get Petra?
The sulk from the child.
Well, one of us will be sulking.
But both of us will need Petra.
It's just how often it's wanted. Hide and seek is the thing, isn't it? It's the amount. It's like I'm looking forward to the World Cup, but if it was every day. You know what I mean? Like,
it loses a bit of fun.
Yeah, like it's great. Yeah, yeah. Like it's amazing. The giddiness I get around the World Cup is the fact it's, oh my God, it's here after 4 years. Can you believe it? Yeah, and sort of like the reality of the World Cup is there's loads of games you're not interested in. You know, there's sort of
human rights issues.
Yeah, exactly. God, you don't half go on about that, Rob, don't you? Change the record, mate. No. Yeah, there is that thorny issue.
But what's the song about? Do you cover that in a song?
It basically, the second verse that they won't put out is really... Yeah, I think when we wrote it, we hadn't flagged in our minds that this is the worst World Cup ever to be... ever to be played, and we really shouldn't be watching and shouldn't be involved in any way. But apart from that, please do listen to Cup in the Cupboard by David Earl, featuring lyrics. Oh, God, it sounds so dope.
Talking through the process, because I genuinely like the song. I genuinely like that you're doing a World Cup song.
Right. I'm glad you
It's you and David Earl from Chatterbox. You know, you did it on your podcast.
Yeah, so we, like, David thinks, and we, if anyone, like, we imagine, we're hoping someone goes back and has a listen on our behalf, because we can't be asked. But David thinks that I was talking about World Cup songs and suggested a World Cup, right, a World Cup song, but I don't remember saying that
on
at
the
all. On Chatterbox, yeah. And then he wrote one and sort of sent over the lyrics for me to sing my one line. But this is the bit that always... He did a version for me to sort of... he says it wasn't for me...
A guide version,
yeah. Which is not what you want. You want to, you know, you want to fly. You want your own, want to bring your own heat to the song. Yeah. But I had basically a handbook that this is how to do it. Yeah. So I did my one line and then it sort of... Then we did it and then we were like, oh, we should try and promote it. So we said, look, let's try and promote it. And then a week later, we were suddenly like, oh, I'm sure I can be asked to promote this. But things had been booked in.
So are you suggesting that you're actually, it was a bad decision, you're here against your will now?
Oh, not you guys.
Soccer AM.
You know, things like Soccer AM.
Did you do Soccer AM?
No, doing it tomorrow. No. Saturday,
oh,
yeah,
Joe,
so, yeah.
I can't tell you how far away it is. Talk about getting a car at 8 a.m. You'll be dreaming of getting a car at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, mate.
Well, it's one of those, like, if you listen to Chatterbox, we have a thing where we have a moment where we're really, like, we're really excited about Doc Martin or something, you know.
Yeah.
And so we'll have, like, 2 weeks of being, like, really into Doc Martin. And then we're sort of going, let's try and get, like, we were talking about, like, there was a chance David could be in Doc Martin because he lives down that way. And, like, yeah. We were speaking to those people in Doc Martin and they were like, well, we could get you, like, a couple of lines in Doc Martin. And we were like, fucking hell, really? So we were... But obviously, things like that take a little while to happen.
Yeah.
So
yes.
You don't, like... We don't, like... If we're talking about today, it's not. We're not going to be on Doc Martin tomorrow. But, like, it'll take, like, 2 or 3 months. But we've then moved on from Doc Martin. And so someone says, so do you want to be a fisherman?
What's your listener's relief? Because if you're on a third month of discussing Doc Martin, you're not...
Joe, can I ask you a question about Soccer AM? Yeah. Are you going to take the free kicks and, like, the penalties
Oh, my God. We were talking about your video with Bellingham and... Was it Mount?
Oh, yeah, the England team one.
Oh, my God, amazing.
Honestly, Rob... Right. I'm always fascinated. Well, you know when you meet someone, you know someone, and you've never played football with them. Have you ever played the game, will they be any good or shit? You know, like, you can never tell.
Yeah.
I would have put a couple of quid on you being fucking pony. And I was like, you can obviously play, because you had form when you were hitting those, pinging those free kicks.
It didn't look like you'd fluked a kick. It looked like you knew what you were doing.
Because there was one, I don't know the lad who... there was some other, on another video, and he pinged one in the top corner, but he just didn't have your form. I was like, they've got him on a good day. I thought, Beckett could do that again. He could do that again. That's not a one-off.
I was never sort of fit enough to sort of go to any sort of decent level in football.
You weren't box to quite... box, were you, Rob?
No, I just couldn't. I didn't have an engine. I'm not a great runner. Let me down.
Yeah,
but I was all right at shooting and passing and stuff.
Is it mad to say swap Rob for Madison? Because there's no bigger stage than the World Cup, and if Rob raises his game like he that much for a clip on YouTube. Imagine how fucking good he's going to be. I'm just saying, don't maybe just hold him off for like the last 10 minutes of if we get to the semis.
Yeah.
And we get a free kick outside.
I do think, though, if every squad had to get a member of the public that's never played professionally, I'd take all the pressure off of Harry Maguire, Southgate, Kane, because it would just be like sidelines warming up.
But if you're slightly better than Maguire...
I'm not nowhere near.
I don't know. I think you could take a better free kick than Maguire. I do. On my life.
Well, do you know what was quite weird about the... Because people went a bit mad for it on Instagram, was it felt a bit like the opposite of being cancelled, because people found out something about me that was positive online. And then other people in the comments...
That is not what social media is for.
I know. Yeah. And then other people in the comments are going... like Tony Hendricks, who used to play on Tuesday, was going, yeah, I can confirm he used to play with Rob and I've seen him score a few beauties. I was like, this is the opposite of being cancelled. It's people just swapping stories of positive things I've done.
I turned the radio on recently and I can't remember what comedian was talking on, like, Radio 2 or whatever. But they were talking about, you know, the Tuesday football thing that the comedians used to do. And they were talking about who they were like, who's decent? Which comedians are decent? I was like, I haven't played on the Tuesday for like years. Yeah. But a bit of me went, I was driving and a pet bench was there, whatever. And I was like, I don't want to say, but I'm really hoping they say me. I was like, waiting to find out, I don't know, if you've won a BAFTA or something. This is a lot more important.
Yeah. So, Joe, are you going to do the shooting practice? And is David, because David Earl always backs himself as a great footballer.
I know,
He bigs it up a lot, so he's got a lot to live up to.
He's got a long way to fall, hasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently we're doing the thing where it's Sean Dyche is on, and it's if they get the question right...
Pro-Am, it's called, yeah.
Pro-Am, yeah. So we just stand there, and if they get the question wrong, one of us takes off. I don't like that bouncing off the net thing.
So this is what you've got to do. They do questions, and if the person gets it right, the professional gets to do it, so Sean Dyche. Yeah. And if they get it wrong, the amateur, you and then David Earl will take turns. So one's like penalty, one's a free kick, one's a crossbar.
And crossbar, you have to hit the crossbar.
What are you going to wear footwear-wise? Because the problem is, you don't look too keen on wear AstroTurfs. But if you wear a pair of shoes you can't kick a ball with...
I'm not wearing AstroTurfs, because that is like... That is setting up that I've... Oh, fucking hell.
I'm just going to say...
I cannot wait to watch this tomorrow morning.
What
I'm
saying is, though, Joe, if you wear something without any grip, it's that you are just going to slip over and you can't kick a ball properly in a pair of...
I can't go into it with the gear on. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but I'm just... But you're going to need a type of footwear that you could use that isn't... AstroTurf, I agree, is too much. But you're going to need something that you can kick a ball with. What are you planning on wearing?
Obviously, like, every night, every day of my life, I've not planned what I'm going to wear ever in my life, Rob. I think what I might do is get my trainers and carve out the sole, leave an inch gap, a centimetre gap around it, then put, like, by AstroTurf, you know, like the bottom of that, and maybe so high.
That's a good idea.
So I'm just wearing a pair of
old shoe on top of AstroTurf.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so you go, God, he did that in loafers.
Well, that's the thing. If you do wear a loafer, you can't kick a ball properly with a loafer. No, no one can. It don't matter who you are.
I wear a comfy pump.
Comfy pump, like a Converse. That'll work.
Yeah,
Converse
yeah,
will be free. Like you might slip.
But I was talking to Tom Davis about it, and he goes, "You got any game, son? You got any game?" I was like, "No, I haven't got any game. Don't say that. Don't build up the pressure to me." Jesus,
pressure's on David.
Yeah, but I've played down my football ability.
And are you performing the song on Socrayon?
No, bloody hellfire! You mental.
the lyrics of In the Cupboard sort of sums you and David up a little bit. Where, like, even if we won the World Cup, you're going to put it in a cupboard.
Yeah,
not a cabinet.
David said, we had some notes from people saying stuff about, like, stuff like that. And David just went, I can't be arsed to change it. it was just like, he was like, no, it could do. And someone said, why don't you, rather than at the end, just like mention some of the players so they might hear it. And we're like, yeah, but we've recorded it now.
Are you ever going to perform it live, do you reckon?
If you've actually listened to what I've added to that song, there's a guy called Dan who's David wrote it and did the music, and then Dan, Eyes on Legs, he produced it. I had one line that David basically told me how to do anyway, and I'm really embarrassed because I went a bit, I can't even talk about it. Because I thought, I've got to add, you know, we were talking earlier about sort of coming out your shell. I thought, I have to come out my shell a bit here for this.
Yeah.
So I was sort of like going, cut in the cut. And I was like, oh, you wanker. And there's raw, there's raw footage of it somewhere, which
Your body language at this moment is absolutely...
You're recoiling.
Yeah. Like a comfort zone is shattered. Oh, horrible. So, yeah, but you know, like... You know, like, you have to commit sometimes to stuff, like with acting and stuff. Fucking, you have to go, right, I can't do this at 40%.
Do you ever do anything with your granddaughter where you feel embarrassed like that?
No. It's all
singing, dancing.
I think I show off.
Do
really
you?
Show off, yeah. But it's, yeah, look at Rob. Like,
it's like,
okay,
it's two
here
different
we go.
Joe Wilkinsons.
Yeah, I fully commit to, like, ballet and all of that, yeah.
Yeah,
Petra has to look away. It's not the man I met 17 years ago. What's he doing? God, he's really into that.
So was it, when you first met then, was her son quite like an adult then when you first
met?
Yeah,
he was like 18, 19. No, he's a really nice lad. There was none of any of that sort of weird weirdness that I imagine happens quite a lot.
Yeah, well, I suppose when he's grown up, like, he's sort of like his stepdad, you're more sort of his mum's new partner than, I suppose, stepdad.
Yeah.
Because he's an adult by then, you know.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's sort of like, it's like a weird term. Like, officially, I'm his stepdad by law or whatever, but not like as in, here's your dinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Time it's to like, call this.
Cook your own fucking dinner. You're 36.
Let me show you how to shave. Come on. Leave it out, mate. I've just done it.
I think that's absolutely none of my business. I'll be honest with you. Absolutely none of my business. You're a grown man. You've got a house. What are you on about? But yeah, no, he's a really nice lad. So he's always been very, very kind to me.
Is he a fan of your comedy, Joe?
Well, he's never said.
I'm sure Petra is. Take that as yes.
Petra openly says... and this is a lot. She goes that her favourite comedian is Paul McCaffrey.
She openly says that to you?
Yeah. Well, she absolutely loves Paul McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And he's
like,
brilliant.
He is really good. I'm aware of that.
He's really good. Solid jokes. You know what's going on? Punchline, there you go.
Oh, no, I get
No outfits, no props, none of that dressing up shit. Solid stand-up.
I know, I'm not a great believer in solid, that'll work comedy. Which, if you saw me 2 nights ago, you know for a fact.
Rose, I get that. Rose is obsessed with. She just thinks Ellis James is the funniest person she knows. And you're
he is funny though.
He is good,
funny.
Isn't he? Yeah, he's really,
just
somebody sort of like that kind
it.
Of style of sort of like into his football, sort of 90s stuff, but funny with it. It's really refreshing, isn't it?
Can you imagine that, Josh?
I can't.
I used to go and watch Ellis's Edinburgh shows. They always they were like one of the ones I would have to go and see. And I just remember, like, he did a thing where he was, like, just asking people where they lived or like, where they're near... It wasn't... You know the way he doesn't ask where you live? It'd be, where's your nearest big town or something? You know, odd way of asking where you live. And then he just had a fact about that town that was just bizarre. Everyone, and it, you know, places I'd never heard of, Nunttown or something, you know, and it'd be like, your church has got the largest roof span per capita of people, or what, you know, and you'd be like, and they'd go, yeah, I've heard that. And it would be like, 20 minutes of that.
And it was good, was it?
No, it never worked.
That was
always the dip at the start, and then it would really kick on from there. No, it was brilliant. I was obsessed with how his shows. They were really fun.
Has your stepson ever come to see you do a gig?
He came to see, did Nevermind the Buzzcocks, but he really likes Noel Fielding or one of the... No, he really likes his music. I can't remember who was on, but there was a musician. It wasn't for me.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a musician who was on there. But that's sort of normal, I think, isn't it? If your other half is like, or your family is like really into your comedy, that'd be really weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because they're like a fan. It's like, because they know what a tit you are, you know what I mean? And like, it'd be like, God, I've really, my favourite comedian is you. What? What the fuck are you on about?
Even if you're the funniest person in the world, I don't think your partner will ever pick you over
another
comedian.
No, it's normal. You got to love Ellis or McCaffrey.
That'd be a really unbalanced relationship.
Yeah.
But when you're having caviar every day, sometimes you want a whopper.
Does Petra listen to Chatterbox?
She does, yeah. But she does the... she's involved in it, basically.
She does
all the all the producing of it and stuff. But she likes Canal Thursdays. We just had Canal Thursdays come out, and I think it's really funny because it's really the guests who make it really funny. We just had Alex Lowe on.
He basically did
Barry from Watford, and I've always been a Barry from Watford. Do you know Barry from Watford, character?
Yeah, he used to ring up a lot of the radio shows, didn't he?
Yeah, Ian Lee's stuff, yeah. And so we just got to speak to Barry from Watford on a canal boat for half an hour. So I was like in heaven, and it's so fun. That character, and same like we've had Seb and Al, Alistair Green and Anna Crilly, all these amazing people just fuck about with for half an hour. And I'm like, okay, when I'm doing that, I go, okay, this is the best job in the world.
Yeah,
listening to like really funny people, because me and David just prod them, you know, and go, you know, now talk about this or whatever.
Yeah,
and so the Alex Lowe one came out today, and it's so funny, just him just being Barry from Watford, because then Greg McHugh came on and did Gary Tank Commander.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah, but like, and some people's characters where they're just, doesn't matter what they say, it's just there's the stupid voice or the, you know, the way their angle. It's just. So that was like, oh, so she loves Canal Thursdays particularly, and I'm with her. It's fucking anyway. Go and listen to Canal Thursdays.
Go listen to Chatterbox. Well, you do so many as well. I can't believe how many episodes you put out. Don't you record every morning?
Yeah, this series is 123. This series is 123. No, 127.
Do you do five a week?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's an absolute drain.
How did you decide to do a daily breakfast podcast?
Well, David had the idea, like, because we were talking about always wanting... We've always talked, because me and David... We've been writing together for like about 10 years, and so you end up talking about everything, don't you?
Yeah,
we're always talking about like kind of Chris Moyles and those, you know, those
easy breakfast. He's your big comedy hero, isn't he, Chris Moyles?
Well, that's why he belched at the start. Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, David was talking about like being a breakfast DJ, and he sort of said, "Oh, well, let's do a breakfast show thing," which sort of was funny, and then we sort of realised that breakfast shows are every day, and we were like, well, I was trying to do it every day, but it started off like, let's just record for 20 minutes, but you just keep going, don't you? Do you know what I mean? Just keep banging on about any old bollocks, and then we were talking about how when we've all done mundane shitty jobs, I don't know about you, but I used to have like things that I relied on to keep me sane.
Yeah.
As did David. Like I used to listen to this thing called the 99p challenge.
Right.
It was like Simon Pegg, Amanda Iannucci.
Oh, wow.
And they basically, it was like a really funny sort of panel show thing. And there was like, I remember finding about 100 of those. And so I had a month or two where I was like, I can listen to that. And then, so we were fantasizing about being one of those, basically, but then didn't really realize the drain it would be on our lives. But I feel that comes across in the episodes.
Well, yeah, my favorite ones are when you get obsessed with the chart positions, but you got to number one in the charts recently.
I wonder why. Yeah, we knocked well, it's because David came on here. that's what takes the sting out of that. We basically coattailed
you. I'm glad you acknowledge it, though, Joe. That's the main thing. That's why.
Not publicly. I will be talking to Michael in a minute and going, you better fucking cut that bit out. Otherwise, I'll never, ever, you'll never work in this podcast. We basically... Look, you guys are the big boys, right? You're the big boys.
Well, no, not anymore. Boys. I think the news ones have come in now, haven't they?
Yeah, the news
it's
ones.
Yeah, but look, forget the news. I'm not interested in the news, boys. I'm talking comedy. I don't look at the whole chart, mate. I look at the comedy. If I look at the whole chart, I can't be bothered to do that much scrolling down.
But you got Alistair Campbell on Chatterbox because he complained about Chatterbox going to number one.
He was a really good sport. He said what he put on Instagram, what the fuck is Chatterbox?
because he's obsessed with chart positions and stuff.
He's got a problem.
Who isn't?
Well, not to the degree about him. Because what about when he came on your show and he was speaking to you about you running the marathon?
He knocked my time, didn't he?
Yeah, so he said, he immediately said to you, have you done the marathon? He went, yeah. And then he said, what time did you do it in? And then you told him his, and he told you.
Yeah, he beat me by about 50 minutes, yeah.
Then he asked your age.
He pointed out he was like 16 years older than me or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, all right, let's just get you back up that chart where you're at.
Calm this down.
How many illegal wars have you been involved in, Joe?
Caw, top of me head. Time for a pivot. come on, let's get back to the big boy shit.
Yeah.
You were the ones to beat.
Well, do you know what I see the iTunes chart now as, Joe? Do you remember the Moscow Olympics when America didn't go there?
Nice. Man, you didn't do the FA Cup. You're talking about that. Yeah. Yeah, nice.
There'll always be an asterisk next to it now.
Do you know what? That's true. You go, we're 24th. Well, we're not really, are we? We're 25th. Because those bastards aren't.
I think it's because we're all sort of peers and all sort of started out together. And normally in comedy, we're used to seeing people and it's obvious what people are doing because they're all an arena or a theatre or a thing and stuff. But yeah.
Do you know, Joe, you gave me one bit of advice I always carry with me when I first was coming up as a comedian. We did a gig together and I had to do 20 minutes and I wasn't really ready for it. And you just said, I've always seen 20 minutes as 16.
That's a great bit of advice.
Oh, it goes further. This is Alistair Green and I's. This is our advice to everyone. 20's a 16, 15's a 12, 10's an 8, 5's a 3. Go and enjoy yourself.
So when you first start, going from 5 to 10 minutes is so stressful.
Insane.
You can't believe. Now we're sort of more accomplished. You can just go out and sort of blag
just
it.
Just talk a bit longer.
But at that time, everything was so like that. Well, that's 17 seconds out. I can't make that longer or shorter. And,
Where am I going to pull another 2 minutes out of my arse, mate? Because I remember the Laughing Horse. Do you remember the Laughing Horse? Yeah. The heats were 5. The final was 7. Okay, I've got 3 months to try and come up with 2 minutes. Are you mad? How am I meant to do that?
Well, my dad said that to me once. I had to get like an hour ready and I had like 20 minutes. So I needed 40 minutes and I had 4 months. And he was like, well, it's only 10 minutes a month.
It's only 10 minutes, isn't it, Dad? Yeah? Just fuck off.
Fuck off, Rob's dad.
Got any idea? Any idea how much shit I've got to pan through?
But also, I never knew how long bits were. So when I was in the clubs, people would go like, when do you want a light? Which is, the club owner will put a light up to show that, some people would have a light at the end of their set. Some would be like 3 minutes from the end. And they'll go, yeah, give me a light at 17, because that end bit's 3 minutes and I come off at 20. I'm like, who knows how long a bit is?
I know. I found that really intimidating. I felt there's loads of things in comedy when you don't know, where people say stuff like that and you go, I don't know anything about comedy. And then later on you go, well, they're talking a load of old tit, weren't they?
Exactly.
You hear someone go, could I get a light at 14? Because I've got this bit that I'd like to run into that needs a bit of building up to. So if I get the light there, that I'll know I better drop that in and then come back around. Oh, what you want of it? Just get a light at 2 and then come off.
Today, when I did my brief stint trying to do jongler's gigs, are kind of, for the listener, kind of the toughest clubs, remember being booked for 15 minutes at Jongler's Camden. They said, what time do you want the light? And I said, I'll have it at 12. Because then at least I feel like I'm on the kind of...
You're done.
You're coming into land.
I've only got to get to 12 now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I went on and I was dying to silence. I was thinking, this is going really badly. And then the light comes and I'm like, do you know what? Even though it's going badly, it's gone fast. I've gone through it fast. And I come off and they've just lighted me at 5.
Oh my God. I've imagined you two do it, because you imagine how I did it, because I did those gigs. You imagine how I did it. I remember, I'll text you afterwards, but one one comedian. I'll text
just beep
you.
It out. Just beep it out.
Oh, no, I will text. Okay.
You don't trust Michael.
He said, I don't think this is for you, mate. Because it'd gone badly, fair enough. But he went, I don't think this is for you, mate. Just, you know, do you write and stuff? Maybe write on stuff.
Oh, that's a horrible thing to say.
Oh, my God.
And,
lucky now.
Yeah, he was fucking right, spot on.
Maybe you shouldn't listen to him, Joe.
And I was, then you look back and you go, those gigs were awful.
Yeah, you can't do... You can't stop comedy because
those gigs are...
I'd argue you can't really do comedy to those gigs. It's just sort of banter and crowd management and crowd work.
I can't
work
do either of those
jokes.
Things.
No, exactly. But then like, even I was... Because I'm a bit more, like, conversational and personal, I can sort of just sort of... And a bit, like... Laddie, I can sort of like out laddie them, and but what isn't doing comedy is surviving, doing some cheap dick jokes, and it's just a bit of survival. And then like you go to other gigs and you tour, that's when you sort of start doing actual bits and material. But like that is not fair enough. You may not be, you know, may not be suitable, but they're brutal at that stage when you're like first in. Especially if you, like, you know, you on 8 out of 10 cats, does Countdown, is one of the best comic performances in like panel shows and sort of that, and you're doing sketches. It's unbelievable. Everyone looks forward to it. When you sat there on the desk and you come out, the crowd go mad and we sit back and just watch an amazing bit of comedy. Every bit of that I've watched and applauded and laughed at would have died on its arse at Jonglers.
Yeah.
So whatever Jonglers is, it don't matter. You know, those kind of gigs.
No,
but it's
true.
Brilliant. And you, if you were listening to them, you'd think this is shit, but it's not.
Very nice.
People love it.
But you
it's
know
just
what,
doing
Joe,
it in the right place.
If you could channel that person you are with your granddaughter.
that Camden gig, I remember dying really bad. It's the last sort of those gigs I ever did. And I at the end, it had gone really badly. I've never done any telly at this point, obviously. And I thought, I'm gonna make like, this will get something from someone, this end. I said, look, and they're still, they are booing and going, fuck off at this point.
Yeah.
And I went, and they're still shouting, and I go, look, guys, you've been lovely. And they're still going, fuck off. And I was saying, you've been a lovely, lovely crowd. And I really appreciate it. And look, I'm going to be at the back signing autographs. So please form a orderly queue. Please don't push to the front, please. Like this, going on and on. And one bloke went, what the fuck, we want your autograph, you fucking shit. And I was like, oh, well, that was a fucking... all right, yeah, fine. Like, can't you see that you're all shouting at me and I'm pretending it's going, you know, I was like, well... And the same gig that the guy, I was waiting to go on and a guy... One of the guys just watching was chewing gum and it fell out of his mouth.
Oh!
And I was like, if you're performing to people that can't keep food in their mouth, I'm sorry, then.
Do you know what I used to do if there was a crowd I didn't like? If I'd be at the back and you walk through the crowd, if I needed a fart, I'd do it halfway down and then get on stage and then just watch the reaction of it. Because no one's going to think it's me. They're all just going, you shit. They go, no, I didn't do it. We must have. It's coming from over there. And I've just dropped it and ran onto the stage.
Oh, God. I can't believe those gigs. Fucking hell.
Joe, thank you so much for coming on. Oh, it's the final question, the last question.
Yeah.
It's a bit more different because you're sort of dealing with grown-up kids, but what's the thing that Petra does as a parent that you find quite annoying, and what does she do as a parent or grandparent that you find really sweet and you think, oh, isn't she nice?
Well, it's just her sweet is generally a relationship with her granddaughter's lovely, and it's just like, that's obviously it's amazing and it's very, very... it's sort of just like, oh, God, that's lovely, isn't it? How amazing that they have that sort of... A bond that is just... It's just there, and they don't sort of... The little one doesn't really know why it's there. You know what I mean? It's
just like, it just works.
Yeah, and annoying. God, she is only half about 12 steps away, so...
Is she in recovery?
Oh, that was a lovely bit of business.
That
was a lovely. Do you know what, Rob? Every now and then you blow my mind. And when it happens, it's worth writing down. It really
a free
is.
Kick and a quick pun every 12 years.
I can't believe how much slower I got that than you, Josh. Because I was literally going, oh, yeah, no, got it. I think the annoying thing is how much she palms off the general running about to me. Probably because she remembers the amount of running about with her son. She bedded in early and was like, I'm the sitter downer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
so good. Experience paid off second time. You know what I mean? She was like, if she knows that I'll jump up and run around after her, then she'll get to 8 and that'll be the default. But he doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So I'll let him just do that.
So like, yeah, Granddad Joe will get it. And what did she call you? Did she call you Granddad Joe? Granddad Joe?
Joey.
Joey will go and get it. Joey will do it, don't worry.
And Joey.
That's right, Joey will drop you off. Joey will go down the shop for you.
Joey is exhausted. Joey just wants to watch the Man City game.
But he's currently rushing to the dishwasher.
Well, Petra somehow has not done as much moving as I'd hoped she would. I did a good one the other day. Oh, this fuck! So can I quickly tell you this? We're playing. What do you call it? Charades. So, like, whoever gets the answer has to go up next.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like we're done with doing it, basically.
Yeah.
So Petra's up and she does film or whatever. Yeah. And she's going, she's obviously doing Frozen.
Yeah.
Now, her granddaughter's not getting it, but I know if I get it, it's my turn next.
So
I'm going, freeze, steal. And she's looking at me going, this fucking sad. And I'm like, Frosty? It's went on for about 10 minutes. And then it was like, I'm not going up again. I've had 6 goes. I'm not going up for 7. Not Moving?
That's a great film, Not Moving.
Not Moving.
Not much happens, but it's slow.
Yeah,
Joe, thank you so much. It's been brilliant.
Lovely to see you, boys.
Is Cupboard to Cupboard available on Spotify?
As you always say, Josh, the one and only place.
The one and only place to listen, if you ask me.
Cupboard to Cupboard, and good luck on Soccer AM. We're going to be watching your free kicks and your footwear.
That's made it a lot worse.
Great. Cheers, Joe.
I know I'm going to slip over. Cheers, boys. Look after yourself.
See you later. Bye.
See ya.
Joe Wilkinson.
Love Joe
Big
Robinson.
Joe Wilkinson fan.
That was one of our ones where we got quite distracted, Rob.
A little bit got distracted. However, I quite enjoyed this distraction because everyone was talking about how good I was at football.
Of course, of course.
So I just wasn't going to, as much as I want to stay on topic.
You weren't going to steer it back to parenting at that point.
No, at that point I was like, do you know what? I'd rather just hear about me more than his grandchild or stepson.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought I could indulge that a little bit. But also, it's difficult, though, for him to talk about parenting too much. He met his stepson when his stepson was an adult, and now he's sort of got step-granddaughter, old Joey, granddad Joey. It's funny Joe Wilkinson's a granddad.
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it? And actually, what you often like, you'll trot out, not you, but me or you, will trot out in an interview when we're promoting this, like, about how you hear another side to people that you don't get in normal interviews. I'd say that was really true of Joe Wilkinson here.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit nervous, between you and me, a little bit nervous doing it, because this is a sort of podcast where you are being really honest and open, and he has a sort of a character act, doesn't he?
Yeah, but to hear Joe Wilkinson talking about playing hide and seek, you don't get that. You don't get that on other podcasts, Rob.
You could tell he was a bit sort of... Sorry, I keep banging that. You could tell he was a little bit nervous about saying it, though, wasn't it? Like, he likes to be a bit vulnerable about it. But he's so funny. And give Chatterbix a whirl.
Give Chatterbix a whirl, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Josh, I'll see you Tuesday.
Bye.
As ever. Exclusively on Spotify.
Exclusively.
See you later, baby.
Bye.